Good morning to everybody. It's good to be together this morning. It's a joy to see each one of you, and it's a special joy to see some of you who are able to be back with us for the first time in person in a while. I appreciate very much our brothers who have led our service this morning, and it's certainly a blessing to hear all of you guys singing together. Over the years, I have been moved many times by singing along with, although they would have debated that part of it, my singing along with groups of young people who've sung to God this song. Listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. I think the song is How Do You Explain, I believe, is the name of the song. How would you explain your love for God with simply your own words? I've even run across a secular song that says, listen with your heart. But this song goes ahead to say, listen to your soul. Inside, you will find the answer to take you to the place you need to go. One is asking God to listen to our hearts. The other one sort of encourages people to listen to themselves and to their own hearts, and the answer will be found. What Jesus said is something a little bit different from either of those two things. He says there's a word from outside ourselves that we must listen to, and that where it's concerned, we all do listen with our hearts, whether we realize it or not. And that if we listen with our hearts to the Lord in the way we should, then He'll certainly listen to our hearts as we praise Him together. Our text this morning is one of the stories of Jesus where He focuses especially on the need for us to listen to the word of the kingdom with our hearts. It's from Luke chapter 8, at least the version that we will read of this. You may realize that this is also in the first half of Mark chapter 4 and in the first half of Matthew chapter 13. Luke's is a little bit briefer than the other two, but this is the first one of the kingdom parables that Jesus told in His teaching. It happens about the end of the second year of the Lord's public ministry, at a point when the division between those who were accusing Him of blaspheming God and those who were listening to Him as the Son of God, that gulf was growing wider and wider when He said this. A great crowd is gathering together, and they come to Him, and He speaks to them in a parable. A sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. And he said, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he meant to make of this something more than a story about sowing seed. And he wanted people who heard him to think about how this might apply, how they might compare to something in this story. And then verse 9, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, one of them had the courage, one of them was in tune enough with Jesus to raise his hand and say, what did you mean by that story? And he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Let me stop there for a moment and point out that Jesus is not saying that he's trying to keep people from hearing. A little bit later down in verse 16, he says sort of humorously, nobody lights a lamp and covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. He wasn't teaching in a way to conceal his point. He was teaching it in a way to reveal the hearts of the people who heard him. And in that way, to cause us to think about how we might be responding to him. Now he explains verse 11. In fact, Mark said, in Mark's version, it's like this parable is sort of the key to all of the other ones. We understand this one, we understand the others. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, what did the Lord mean for us to gain from that homey little story from everyday life? There's some starting places for us in just thinking our way through this for a moment. The first thing that we might notice, that the sower is just mentioned one time, and the focus is not really on his efforts or his methods or his skill. In fact, in this story, the sower and the method and actually the seed are the same in each case, wherever it fell. It wasn't the situation where the sower had a greater ability in this case than in this case. I think the sower in this story is Jesus originally, but it would apply forever to everyone who sowed the same seed. This might have been being fulfilled as he was doing it, because the focus is really more on the hearer. The same seed in each case is sown. Luke calls it the Word of God. Mark calls it the Word. And Matthew calls it the word of the kingdom. This is the message of what God is doing in Christ to establish his rule in the hearts and lives of people. The word kingdom in the New Testament means rule or reign. And in New Testament thoughts, we are either in the kingdom of darkness or that we're in the kingdom of light. We either are ruled over by the evil one or by the Son of God. The message Jesus taught was the kingdom of God is at hand. And he meant it in his case. Earlier, and just before this parable in Matthew chapter 12, he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, am casting out demons, he said this to the Pharisees, then the kingdom of God is among you. Jesus in his teaching taught that he was going to establish his church on the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he would give the keys to the kingdom to his apostles, Matthew 16, verse 18. And when people heard what the gospel as it was preached, and when they responded to it in faith and in obedience to what God was inviting them to do and submitting to his rule or reign, they were transferred from the power of darkness, the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 teaches that. The kingdom is made up of people who have been purchased or redeemed from their sins by the blood of Christ and set free from their sins. according to Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. That kingdom will eventually be delivered up by the Son of God to the Father, and it will have no end, as 1 Corinthians 15 teaches it. The message of the gospel is the seed of that kingdom, and the sower goes forth to sow it. And the thing is, it's the soil in Jesus' story, or the heart, if you notice, which determines the fruitfulness. The object of the sower is not just that the seed fall, but that the seed bring forth a harvest. And as he goes out sowing the seed, the point Jesus makes is the seed falls on different kinds of soil. Some soil is such heart that it understands it and takes it in and holds it fast. And some soil is such that no fruit is born. There are four types of soils that Jesus goes ahead to describe, which are four different kinds of hearts that are found in four different kinds of hearers. The way Jesus tells this, he means for us to understand that we are there in that audience, and as he sows the seed, then it falls on one of these kinds of heart in each of our cases. And this, in these kinds of soil, if you think about the way he says it, some of the prepositions are important, I think. Some of it falls along the path. Maybe this is a path between fields or along the way where it's been like a walkway for a long time and the soil is packed down so that it is so hard that no seed could possibly penetrate it, much less grow very long or bear much fruit. And in the way Jesus tells it here, this which falls along the path is a heart which is either calloused by having gone through so much for so long, or it is a heart which is stubborn and stiff-necked by refusing to listen and by being selfish, or it's a heart for some other reason which is hardened to the point that it is not receptive to the seed that falls on it, not even the message of the kingdom of God. I call this the uninvested hearer. This is the person who listens casually, never even thinking of and not for one minute intending to invest anything of self into the message that is heard. This is the kind of person who has nothing at stake and doesn't intend to have anything at stake while the seed is being sown. And Jesus is saying here, no matter how precious the seed is, the word of the kingdom, no matter how great the sower might have been, in that case the Son of God, an uninvested hearer is not going to allow any difference in that person's life, his or her life, to be made by the message as it's sown, or by the seed as it's sown. The second kind of soil is where the seed falls on the rock. On the rock is the person who not just has a bunch of rocks in the dirt, but more likely the person where a few inches underneath the soil there's a ledge of rock. When moisture falls on the ground, it runs down through on top of that rock, and so it looks like there's plenty of water there for seed to take root and grow. And the soil is such that the seed can fall into it and sprout to life, but it's not such that roots can go down very far. And even our children know that unless the seed can, when it sprouts, can put roots down, it's not going to be able to survive very long. One illustration, I read something that a fellow who lived in California wrote. And he said, out there on the hillsides near the coast where he lives in Southern California, When the rainy time, whenever that was occurred, then those plants would spring to life and they would seem to be doing just fine. And then the heat would come and the dry would come. And when a spark from lightning or something hit, then fire would just sweep it all off immediately and it'd be completely barren. That's the description of this heart. It's superficial enough that it hears for a moment with joy. But when a time of testing comes, when there's anything that could possibly offend comes along, then the person stumbles and gives up the faith. There's no real conviction that changes life and guides life in this kind of soil. The third kind of soil that Jesus talks about is where the seed fell among the thorns. This is the preoccupied hearer. This is the person who has a decent heart, but it's just overcrowded. There's so much in it. There's so many prior concerns that are brought to the hearing of the word of the kingdom that the kingdom can fall there on that soil, and it's rich enough soil that it can sprout and start to grow, but there's so many other kinds of seeds competing for the nourishment and the sunshine and the moisture, and they grow so much easier. Nobody has to encourage them or feed them or strengthen them, and pretty soon those weeds, those thorns, choke out the seed that was there. And it brings forth no fruit. No fruit can mature. And Jesus specified what he meant by the thorns here. They are the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They may be things which are not wrong in themselves, but they're just not the kingdom. The cares, that could be stuff that you are or I am worried about, or angry about, or frustrated about, just the things that we have on our minds. The riches would be stuff, material things. And the pleasures of life would be simply the things that we do for fun. Recreation is, and pleasure is never wrong just because it's fun. But if it's what we're preoccupied with, then it keeps us from being able to allow the kingdom to grow in our lives. And then there's the other kind of soil, the soil where Jesus says some of the seed fell in good soil. Unlike the first soil, which is simply hardened and unaware and not invested, this soil is open to the seed that falls on it. Unlike the second, where there is no depth in the person's heart and where no root can be put down, this is the kind of soil which is deep enough to take in a growing appreciation for the kingdom. And then, unlike the third, this kind of soil is clean enough, cultivated enough, that it can take in the soil and maintain it over time. The Lord said, in this soil, the person hears the word and holds it fast in a good and honest heart. One of the other writers says he understands the word of the kingdom. One of the others says, Mark says he accepts the word of the kingdom. So he accepts it, he understands it, he holds it fast. That's the good and honest heart. And he bears fruit. The fruit, Mark says, he bears fruit 100-fold. The normal yield of a crop in the land at that time was 7 to 10 times. And here it's 100-fold. The other writers say 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold, depending on the ability, the opportunity that God gives to that hearer. But the point is, there is an unbelievable harvest that develops where the kingdom is allowed to prosper in this way. I look at that and I think of the state of my own heart, and I wonder, have I gotten to the place where I just don't have much invested in the hearing of the word? I'm so focused on other things. Is my attention span so short and my value system such that it doesn't take much to make me think of just quitting the whole thing? Am I preoccupied with my own cares and my own stuff and my own pleasures such that the kingdom doesn't really have a chance? Or is there this good and honest heart which has accepted something and more understands it and is holding to it where it's bearing fruit? Now let's make some applications. Well, more importantly, let's let the Lord make some applications. I hope you're looking at your Bible in some way. If you are, you will notice that Jesus immediately follows this story by telling us that there is, in hearing, a progression about it. If you notice verses 16 and following, Jesus uses the little illustration of the lamp. And then he says in verses 17 and 18, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Take care then how you hear. That's what he's been talking about the whole time. "For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." That last verse is what I mean by there being a progression in how we hear. I found it described by one writer, a writer named Fred Craddock, this way: "Those who lean forward to hear and who invest trust and commitment, who come to the altar seeking, asking, hungering, the altar of the word, seeking, asking, and hungering, these are the ones to whom more will be given." He means by that, and the Lord meant by it, the key is for you to bring your concerns and your interests in life, and each time take what you're able to see of what the Lord says and act on it. Do something about it this week. And then he says, more will be given. Those who think they already know, who acknowledge no blindness, who listen with ears that register only likes and dislikes, who fold their arms across the chest waiting to be convinced or entertained, who want information without obligation. There, I think, is the key. Who want information without obligation. These are the ones who discover painfully that even what they thought they had is taken away. So that's first. Second, hearing and wanting to do the will of the Father is what creates, what turns us into a family, a spiritual family. The Purer in Heart song has a verse in it that is essential to this thought. I hope you noticed it while Briley led us this morning. Down here at verses 19 through 21, same context, notice, Luke has it, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" In other words, the idea is they share a heart for the will of the Father with him. And it's those who do the will of the Father, who want to and who are willing to seek that more than anything else, that turn into a spiritual family. And that means, third, that our task is to cultivate our hearts to keep them ready to receive the implanted word. It's interesting that the other gospel records suggest that there was a time that even the Lord's brothers did not believe in him. John 7, I think it's verse 3. And maybe thinking about what Jesus says there in verses 19 through 21, maybe that leads James, his half-brother, later on, to write something which is pretty significant, I think. James chapter 1. This especially, if there'd been a time when James didn't himself hadn't believed in Jesus. Verse 18 in James 1. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of truth, you see, is the seed of the kingdom, that we should be a kind of a first fruits of his creatures. But remember, the seed of the kingdom has to fall on a heart that lets it grow. So know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Notice in the context, he isn't just talking about anger or resentment or whatever. He's talking about being able to receive the word of truth. Verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Not the sower, but the seed of the kingdom in your heart is important. Don't merely say, help us to put the things of the world out of our hearts. Bring the concerns of your heart to the Lord and ask whether they fit in his kingdom and how his kingdom impacts that. And I'll try to do that myself in this week, and if we can, we'll all be better when next Sunday comes along. The parable of the sower is an announcement of the kingdom of God, and it's an invitation for us to understand its nature, and it's also an examination of the state of our hearts. This little parable calls us to listen to the heart of God and to listen with our hearts so that we can then ask him to listen to our hearts and for that to be a joy to us. To bear that kind of fruit in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to do it with abundance and with patience is the privilege of every good and honest heart. These kind of hearts, when they first heard the gospel message, gladly received it and repented and were baptized, Acts 2 and verse 41. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And that invitation is still open to all of us today. If we can help you to respond to the word of the kingdom, please let us know of your desire by coming here while we stand and sing together.